And we are live. The time is now 9:12, and good morning to you. Welcome to 101.9, your favorite station, Chai FM. Today is Thursday. The time is now, like I said, 9:12, and the date is the 18th day of January, the year 2018. The Jewish day today is Beit Beshvat, and the year is 5778. You are listening to Warren Friends, and like every Thursday, we have with us from 96 Sundown Drive, our Swiss watch and diamond expert, Leon Grimman. Good morning, everybody.
Thank you.
He's a decorated journalist, a blogger, and South Africa's best movie critic, Peter Feldman.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you. Lovely being here again.
thank you. What a lovely morning, eh?
Great.
Beautiful morning.
And the traffic had eased off. You know, yesterday, I couldn't get onto the highway because everybody was going to school.
Yeah.
This morning, it was a dream. Onto the highway, clear traveling. Got you on time.
That's cool in South Africa. It's one day a year.
One day a year when everybody goes to school. Then they start staying.
That's
a... Cool.
That's how it looks like.
It is crazy, yeah, it is crazy. So you, who do we have with us? We've got with us Moshe Starograd. How are you, Moshe?
Good morning, very well.
Good morning, Moshe, to you too. My name is Robert. I will make some easy conversation today, and maybe we'll play some great tunes. So jack up the volume, and here we go. What do we have? So first of all, school was starting, like we're talking about it now. School was starting. So what can you tell us? What is the difference between this year and last year?
This year we've had more protests. We have this whole issue at the school in Vereeniging, where they won't admit 55 English-speaking students, because it's an Afrikaans medium school. So you have the ANC and you have the EFF, all busy fighting. They've arrested a whole lot of people, and they expect it's going to happen again today. I don't know. I haven't heard the news.
Yeah, in Allendale and these places, they were protesting and closing the ways to go to the schools.
So they've been blocking it off.
Let me understand correctly. So they're closing the schools because they want...
They can't close the school, but they can protest and close
the area
leading to the school, so nobody can go to the school until like 11 o'clock in the morning, after then, 3 hours after.
So that's basically good for what?
Good for nothing.
Not good at all.
The ANC told us last year, okay, because I'm the only one that have kids in school, actually, over here.
You've got one kid, have you?
One kid. Okay. It's still kids.
Kids. One kid.
They're going to change the law about not the private school, but all the government school cannot choose what they want to teach. The government will tell them what to teach.
Yeah, they're the secondary.
So they're scrapping Afrikaans and stuff like this. That's basically what they want to do.
Yeah.
Jefferson started in 1976 because of Afrikaans.
That's right. Those were the Soweto riots. It's caused by them demanding to be taught in their own language.
Yes.
And the government at the time foisted upon them Afrikaans, and they didn't want it.
You know what makes me really, really crazy, and I don't understand? How can you block the school to make people study better? I mean, how do you ban there's better education?
It's a catch 22.
No, not a catch 22. It's not even a catch. This is ridiculously just to get into the headlines. That's what I see. Maybe I'm in... You're not an idiot, but that's the way I can see it.
Roy, it's the same as a protester to burn down schools. It's not going to help anything to burn things down, burn libraries, burn schools, because you've just got to rebuild it. It costs money. Does it help their cause? They get into the headlines, and then weeks or months later, people have forgotten about it. You know, people get injured. People get killed.
I think that for every kind of action like this, there is
a reaction.
Someone or some group that is igniting all this violence and everything.
Yes.
And this group probably going to get the money from the government after to build the new school. So they're very, very happy.
And just say, okay, we burn it, and that will be judged to fix it up.
Exactly.
Is that the way they think?
No, I don't think so, really. I think what they want is only recognition. Only, I'm here, look at me, I'm doing for the people. And the people are acting, they picked up on the smallest thing and they say, nah, this is racist, and they pick up on the the H&M. I mean, this is really crazy.
That's amazing.
How many black people there are in the world?
I got no idea.
There's a billion people in Africa. They're not all black, but whatever. Why only a group of the freedom fighters of Malema decided that this is racist and they need to go and break the H&M?
You know, to be honest with you,
because they want the vote. You see, that's why.
Exactly. That's so it's only the vote, and it's got nothing to do. It's got nothing to do with anything else. It's only the vote. So I don't know. You know, let me go something a little bit happier. We'll come back to with the look. First of all, I'm gonna. You know, this lady, she's 72. She's an American singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, record producer, actress, author, businesswoman, and philanthropist, known primarily for her work in country music. I mean, I'll let you guess who she is.
Who is she? No, that's not a woman, Roy. That's a machine. That's a robot.
No, she's 72, and she's one of the most...
Dolly Parton, is it?
Yeah, she is Dolly Parton.
I get the guy off, yeah.
Yes. She's Dolly Parton.
With Kenny Rogers.
Yeah, they do a couple of numbers.
Do you remember that song?
Yeah.
I mean, who can? It was not.
95, she's got a whole history of...
Written 1974.
And she came up...
So, how's Jolene? Oof. Please, if you like it.
You know, I interviewed Dolly Parton at Sun City in the 80s. I couldn't get near her. She is a beautiful woman. I mean, she was so nice to everyone.
Was she?
One of the few artists who really were nice. I mean, you had Rod Stewart, who wasn't really nice to the media. And you had a few others. But I must say, Dolly Parton. And what's interesting is Dolly Parton's totally made up. She wears a wig. She's doing amazing makeup. She wears jewelry. So when she walked around at Sun City, she didn't have any bodyguards because she didn't wear the wig. She didn't wear all the makeup, and people didn't recognize her.
So all you saw is a little lady with a big...
We won't go there, right?
Yeah, we won't go there.
Tell me, is it her birthday today?
Yeah, she's 72 years old, and she says, you know, when I see it, if I wear the rainbow, you're going to get wet. You're going to get up with the rain. And it costs a lot of money to look this cheap. She said, then she says, storms make trees take deeper roots. I mean, she's...
That's a very good philosophy.
It is.
Deep thinking.
Jolene was recorded in 1974, and for me, I mean, it made a lot. I mean, that's a 70s song. That's a proper Jolene, Angie. What more songs you can remember? Stairway to Heaven, all those songs, Edgar Allan Poe, as well, was born today. You know, he died. What age do you think he died?
93.
No. Edgar Allan Poe.
Now, how old is he when he
41.
Died?
41.
40. Is that all?
40. He was dying.
He was writing all these scary stories.
All this Beethoven and all these guys from this era. They died very young.
Very young.
You know, longevity wasn't part of the game at that stage. If he made 50, they said, boy, you're living a long life.
Go to the gym, you know, and keep up to your health.
There's still people that think that after 40 they're very old.
Yeah, you're right. Edgar Allan Poe as well was an American writer, editor, literary critic. Poe is best known for his poetry and short stories, particularly his tales of mystery. And he was born in 1908 and died in 1949. I mean, in 1809 and died at 1849. Quoth the Raven, nevermore, he says. We loved with love. And
you know how I learned about Edgar Allan Poe? From The Simpsons.
The Simpsons.
They had a chapter.
You know, Roy,
they had an episode about the crow.
You know, can I just tell you something? 65 years old is still young. I mean, how old is old? I mean, the World Health Organization had declared that 65 years old is still considered young. Before, you know, based on the Friendly Societies Act of 1875, in Britain, old was defined as 50. The UN has not adopted a standard criterion, but lately 60 years old was referred to as the border age to the world old. However, the Health Organization has done a new research recently, and according to the average health quality, 0 to 17 is underage, 18 to 65 is youth or young people, 66 to 79 years old is middle-aged, 80 to 99 years old is elderly or senior, and 100 and older is long-lived elderly.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, they've redefined the whole age.
100 years and older, it's a miracle.
Well, a lot of...
But people living more, it depends what kind of the
life they lead.
Uh-huh. Right, don't smoke, don't drink, don't do that, don't that, don't that. And then you don't really feel like it.
In the Western world, you got all these chemicals and all the cars and everything.
World, yeah.
Think
yes.
about in Fiji or in these places, when they don't have all this pollution and all this, they have much better chance than
well, us.
I don't know. And we still live better than them because of technology, because of better food we're eating.
Better medicine, yeah.
Better medicine, yeah.
There was a woman, 109 years old, in the Scottish Highlands, who died recently. But before she died, they asked, and this is not a joke, they asked her what she,
what's the secret?
Survived. What was the secret
for the longevity?
And she said every day she had a glass of Scotch whiskey. Every day of her life, and she said that prolonged her life.
That kept her insane. That kept her sane, but
a lot of guys swore by it.
I remember when my friend's dad, when we were kids, had the problem with his heart, and the doctor told him drink a
whiskey,
not whiskey, a red wine in the evening. One cup, it's fine. It's good for the heart. So.
You know the guy took Carter liver salts for years and years and years. When he died, they had to beat his liver dead with a stick.
Is it? Our telephone number is 010-140-3020. Please contact us. WhatsApp us. 061-895-1019-34519. That's our SMS line. You can SMS us for a cost will be 150. WhatsApp is for free, and telephone numbers. Janis Joplin. Janis Lynn Joplin was an American rock singer and songwriter.
And
she was one of the biggest female rock star of the era. After releasing 3 albums, she died of heroin overdose at the age of 27.
She's one of the 27 Club.
That's right.
Jim Morrison, Jimi Hendrix, Amy Winehouse.
Here you go.
They're all in the 27 Club.
So she was born 1943 and she died in 1970. She says, don't promise yourself. You are all you've got. All right. Listen, I wouldn't take it. I won't take anything she said. I mean, how can you take anything from someone who's 27 and died of an overdose?
And all these guys that I mentioned, they all died in the same...
Yeah.
Well, they're not the rock star, Roy, which everybody tried to, you know, find out what was going on at that time.
Let me give you a small surprise. What I've got here will surprise you. I think it's going to surprise you. So listen to that one. I'm sure you're going to be happy with that. Listen to that.
Love and Marriage.
You remember that one?
Yeah, of course.
So first of all, it's sung by, if I'm not mistaken,
I never knew.
Eric Sharman. No, never.
Love and Marriage.
It's Frank Sinatra. Frank Sinatra.
True.
Frank Sinatra.
Eric Sharman.
Never heard of him.
Okay, then we'll Google it just now.
I'm not sure.
It doesn't sound like Frank Sinatra.
Eric Sharman. Maybe. All right. I mean, normally, Moshe is not mistaken. Normally.
Yeah.
Him. So anyway,
it's from his times.
Why putting Love and Marriage? Catherine Louise Segal, is an American actress, singer, songwriter. She's also known for Peggy Bundy on Married with Children. Now she's Leela on Futurama and Kat Hennessy on 8 Simple Rules. She's 64 already. You remember that? She's amazing.
Favorite programs,
I promise you, it's still.
It's, I think it's still today one of the best shows ever.
But another show you like was Married with Children.
That's the show.
Married with Children. Yes,
the one I like.
Yes, this is the one that the guy. What's his name?
Oh.
The lead character.
Al Bundy. I don't remember his name. What is his name?
He's now in Modern Family. What's his name?
He's amazing. Ed something. Yeah.
Ed O'Neill. Big guy.
Yeah, big guy. Very funny.
She says, I never loved anybody the way I love my children. I'm pretty emotional person. Married with Children was racy. It was sexist. It was a lot of things, but mostly it was funny. And funny. I can vouch for that. It was funny. It was funny.
They had very funny script writers. Sure. I mean, listen, to be funny, you really got to have a good brain on your head.
It was sexist. It was chauvinist. Yeah. And men and women loved it together. There was no
difference. If you did a show like that today, in that kind of vein, how well do you think it would do?
If you'd have Africa, let me tell you, Malema will burn the studio. That's about it, don't you think?
I think so.
You know what? We are. The time is now 9:32. Let me see if we've got any advertising to do. Not yet, so that's good. Then we've got, what do we have more? We're starting the year on a very good note. The rand dollar, I think it's amazing.
Yeah.
So,
and Liverpool did an amazing job last weekend.
Before we go,
you haven't mentioned that at all.
I think I did. We actually did.
We did yesterday after Peter left. So
yeah, I don't listen to the show after I leave. I need a bit of insanity. Again, there's sanity in my life.
Yeah,
the mad Israelis. What can I say?
No, but still, mad. But we are.
It was an amazing match, Roy.
What? The match was amazing. Oh, proper. Gee. It was a proper match.
It was 4-1 and then 4-2, and I thought, oh, not again. I thought, you know, at the last 10 minutes of the match, they score and we throw it away because our defense is terrible. But they held on, and all these little apps that are going around, these little, what do you call them? I sent you one where the guys are singing. And
chants, but you sent me the one that it's one of the most famous songs. If you watch the game and you watch the interviews after, and you stay in the studio and listen to the audience and everybody, so you hear this song.
It's based on that song.
Huh?
It's based on a song, and they changed the words about Mane and about Salah and about the other guy, Firmino.
It's on the base of She wear a itsy bitsy teeny weeny and a
bambini. Yeah, yeah.
the English football fans are very, very creative. Very, very, very creative. I think they're sitting there all week and think about songs and this and
that's
that.
That's why they're so low in work. They don't have...
Really, well, a lot of them on the dole. They've got plenty of time on their hands.
Most of them on the dole.
Yes, they've got plenty of time on their hands. Yeah. But they create these little... They had a picture of the Beatles, but they replaced their faces with four from Liverpool.
But they live for it. You don't understand. They actually live for that.
They live for that. Yeah.
It's not like we like soccer. I mean, I like soccer. I love Liverpool. But we don't live for it. I mean, in the morning, I wake up, I go to work. Day in the morning, you know, pray to God money, I think. Yeah. I don't know.
And
you go to the pub.
The pub is like the center of attraction.
Did you ever get an Englishman invited you to his house? It's really, really a difficult task to get. So basically, come, let's meet at the pub. That's about true. We get it closest to his house. So that's the nature.
They are living from Saturday to Saturday.
Yeah.
From a game to a game.
I would say that.
Yeah.
I would say that.
Yeah.
Guys, we're going to... I'm going to put a nice song. It was requested many times, and I don't know why. We never got to play it. So let's make this song, and afterwards... we'll come back to with some actually very, very nice stuff. To be honest, we're going to talk about dollar. We're going to talk about other nice stuff. See you just now. And believe it or not, we're back. 010-140-3020. 061-895-1019. And I think Leon's right. The singer that Married with Children was... Frank Sinatra.
I didn't say that. You said it.
You said
it. Yeah, you said it. You reminded me of it anyway. It is Frank Sinatra.
But I'm marveling here, Roy, at your magic fingers.
Yeah?
Viewing the whole keyboard here.
I'm getting excited.
No, I don't get excited. I'm observing.
But I'm getting there. I'm getting
you're
there.
Doing you're very well.
One day.
Considering you flipped it very quickly.
For a pawnbroker. For a pawnbroker.
Well, you used to manipulation as a pawnbroker.
No, never.
Hey, don't
you? That's right. Listen, the whole idea of being a pawnbroker, and I must say I'm actually grateful for the question. The whole idea of a pawnbroker is like this. You know, many people think, I'm going to go to the pawnbroker. I've got this rubbish I want to sell. And he's thinking like 2 weeks before that, how I'm going to manipulate this guy, you know, across the desk.
He doesn't know anything.
Yeah, and you have to sort him out within 10 minutes.
But you can suss out a customer, can't you?
We can, you know, after so many years. Yeah, you can. But you know what? My clients lately, I love my clients, you know. It's actually amazing. The relations you have with your clients.
The relationship.
Yeah, the proper proper relationship, yeah, that you have with your clients, and they stay for long, and clients coming back to you. And I've got clients that coming to us. I mean, we said 20 years, they're still coming back to us for 20 years.
That's how you build up your goodwill.
Yes. Yeah,
if you give a good deal and you're honest, and a person comes back to you and he sends his friends also to you, say, listen, the person is reliable and you get a good deal. Not a perfect deal, but a good deal.
Well, I sent a friend to Roy's. She couldn't believe it. She spent like 2.5 hours there. She bought a carpet. She bought jewelry. And she walked. She said, why didn't you tell me about this before? I said, well,
that's
you never
how you
asked.
Build that. That's everything. This is but a goodwill builder.
The idea is very simple. I mean, when we got into the porn industry, I mean, we came from different industries. We came from chemicals. So when we go to the porn industry, and I said, did I say porn or porn?
But you said also chemicals, and just to explain, it's making shoe.
Don't make your socks.
You don't make your crystal meth.
All right, so let me just correct that. Just like it in the right. We used to manufacture chemicals for the shoe industry, and mainly for shoe soles.
Yeah, for soles.
It was polyurethane. And so I'm sorry, my voice is a little bit going now. I'm a little bit.
I saw it go out. Didn't even say goodbye.
All right, I'm still a bit sick, but we're getting there. I'm getting strong. What I'm saying is, when I started to be a
coach, 1999
actually, 1999, okay. We started. When we started in 99, I looked at the other pawn shops and I said to myself, you know what, I'm not going to make quick money. I want to make it proper. I want to make money, but I want to do it the right way. I want to make sure that the pawn broker will be a normal business. Not like, this shady thing in the corner.
Yeah.
You know, it has to be a very, very nice, beautiful, clean, a lot of light. You know, when you see, you know, especially in the movies, when you see a pawn broker, you see a guy sitting behind those cars,
and you know, with the tattoos on his head,
with the tattoos on his hand, and you know, what movie was it when the guy comes to the Chinese pawn broker and says, "Look, I've got this Rolex, I'm in a hurry."
It's called King Ransom with what's his name, Anderson.
Think about
the guy from Blackish. What's his name? Anderson. The black comedian.
Anyway, he goes into this. He takes the Rolex off his hand. He gives it to the pawnbroker. And pawnbroker, look at him. He says, look, it's a $40,000 Rolex.
No, it's a Chinese woman. And the pawnbroker is a Chinese woman. She said, I'll give you $100.
No. She says, I'll give you $400.
$400.
But he says, it's $40,000 worth. He says, $400. He says, okay, I'm under pressure. Oh, under pressure.
No, he said, what did he say? I'm desperate.
Desperate.
I'm $50.
So you've got to be careful what you say, because you can interpret that. I need
That was a comedy, but there was a lot of serious movies, like The Crow and other movies, that pawn shops were shown in very bad light. Very bad light, and
maybe a negative stigma on the Yes, unless
it wasn't always a stigma, there was a shady side to it, and we tried to change it, and I think we did.
Lord, do you think the TV series that you did on History Channel helped change the conception?
I think so. I think the TV series, what it's done is actually put us in the correct light, rather than the shady light that normal pawnbrokers. Today, people call me from Cape Town. They say, look, you advertise, you give so much money for gold, they give us here almost after price. Are you willing to do business? I always say yes. So they send us packages. You don't believe. They send us a package on speed services, whatever. As long as it's not marked as being, I've got gold inside. They send us a package. We open it under camera. We've got 9 cameras in my office. We open it under camera. I weigh the stuff. I call the guy. If he's happy, I'll deposit the money. If he's not happy, we will send him the package back on my account. So people know that they can deal now with a reliable person. So it's easy for them. And yes, we get huge business. We got business from the UK. I mean, you know the story about Frank Lampard. I mean, we got a lot of interest overseas,
because the series was shown in many, many countries. I don't know exactly how many.
Yeah.
But Frank Lampard saw it in the UK, and he wanted to buy that
motorcycle.
Yes.
It is amazing.
Not only him. He said that the whole Chelsea team was watching us, and
I was already.
it wasn't the Chelsea team, it was the
English team.
Because he said, I'm sitting here with Steven Gerrard.
Never. And Roy became a linguist because he speaks languages all over the world, in every country, their own language, you know.
Roy, how many languages do you speak?
Not only Roy, me too. You want to see me in German? I'm in German,
We get
speaking German, speaking Romanian,
Polish, yes, I know. Polish,
Are you having us on?
Hey?
Are you having us on? Can you actually speak those languages?
If you watch me on TV, I can, in this country, but otherwise, no.
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
It's called dubbing.
That was my next move. Well, how many languages do you actually speak?
Three. Proper.
Proper.
Yeah.
Rubbish, yes. What else?
Spanish and English. We need to go to our advertisers. So, you know, here we mark by time. So I'm going to go to the advertising. Let me put a lekker song, and then we close with some nice things. So first of all, you know, because Africa is suffering bad reputation lately. Our WhatsApp line is 061-895-1019. I've got a question here from a client, Paul Fisher. He says, do you need any proof of purchase at the pawnbroker? Not really. No, you don't.
By your ID? By law, we need identification. You need to have your real ID or driving license or passport. And you're allowed to sell everything you have.
And how long must you keep it in your shop until you can sell it? Is there any time that you must keep it just to maybe somebody tells you it's mine and it's not, and they come back to you and
you
ask
can you make to, a deal with the guy to keep it for a certain amount of time, but doesn't not in the law.
Okay.
Yeah, if you buy stuff or if it's go out of pawn.
So, in other words, you're protected by having his identification, his ID.
We are protected. As a pawnbroker, we have to protect ourselves first of all.
Absolutely, yeah.
And we have to protect the people that buy stuff from us. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, we will take ID. In certain cases, we'll take even fingerprints.
Yeah.
We do. If it looks a little bit shady, if I'm a little bit, you know, it's got all the documents, everything looks cool, but it looks a little bit shady, I will take even his print.
And what happens if you sell to somebody? Do you even guarantee that it's, you know?
First of all, we always give a genuine guarantee, meaning like if I sell you a Rolex, or I'm just saying Rolex because everybody knows Rolex.
Okay.
If I sell you a Rolex, I will give you not just give a guarantee, I'll give you a one year working warranty. Over and above that, we definitely guarantee all our products. I mean, I will guarantee the product, meaning like it's a genuine product. If I sell a car, I will not tell that I'm guaranteed the engine to work. I don't know about that. But the papers will be correct.
Everything will be correct. By the law, and we're working with the law, and we guarantee that we're selling legal stuff, that we didn't purchase them.
That's
in
the
any
most important thing, because if a person buys a Rolex, for example, and then after a year or 2 years, wants to go and to fix it, they go to the Rolex and they look at the serial numbers.
Yeah, but this industry is regulated, so we have a license from the police and everything.
Highly regulated. 100%.
Okay.
Highly regulated. You know what? We'll have to say our goodbyes. So the time now 9:56, and they're sitting on our heads. So thank you, Moshe, for being with me.
Thank you.
Thank you, Peter.
Thank you.
Thank you, Leon.
Thank you, Roy. And good Shabbos, everybody.
Good Shabbos to you guys. And
yes, have fun. Rewind and
have plenty fun. And don't forget. Don't forget. We're going to have, how do you say? We're going to have our Pawn Stars Unplugged on Wednesday. And we're going to put a nice donut for you just before you leave. So have a lekker weekend and good Shabbos.